we're starting new series on spiritual gifts, and I feel like a new preacher almost, because for 3 weeks I haven't said a word. It was a hard 3 weeks. Yesterday I was walking through Walmart, and my antenna broke, and I was walking, and I looked up. I said, "Wow, look at the ceiling." Yeah, I was speaking to myself. I said, "This is a nice ceiling." I mean, and then I said, I want to preach. It's not enough for me one Sunday. I'm like, "Lord, Thursday is not enough either. I need to preach more. That's my calling. I love doing it." It's like, you know, and I don't know why ceiling reminded me of preaching. Maybe it's prophetic. I don't know. But anyway, I just love preaching the Word of God. I love seeing your faces light up with the revelation that comes from His Word. And one thing I figured out a long time ago, that it's not me you come in to listen to. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Jesus that's manifested through me. Okay? And God uses whoever He wants, and He gives gifts to whoever He wants. And today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Okay? And the point of this is, what God wants to do is for you to discover where and how to use your gift. And what is your gift? Okay? So we're going to go through the gifts. And today, actually, if we have time, we will discover what gift, first gift, word of wisdom, and second gift, word of knowledge, is. And then you'll know if you have it and how to use it and where it's used. And God is going to release people. Listen to me. God is going to release people into their gifting. Amen? Because as a church, there's a stigma out there concerning spiritual gifts. Wouldn't you agree? People are freaked out about spiritual gifts. Look at the world. If you look at the world, they defend their own spiritual gifts. They communicate with ghosts. Come on. And they make it like it's not a big deal. I mean, it's like a game, Halloween, you know? You know what I mean? But as soon as you start talking about holy gifts from the Holy Spirit, people go, "I don't want that." As soon as somebody raises their hands in the service, "Oh, he's a charismatic. Watch out for him or her." As soon as somebody begins to practice their Holy Spirit given ability, "Oh no, that's spooky. We don't do that. I think I'm going to find another church." You know, that's fanaticism. Well, today we're going to look at all of that and see what God has to say. But before we do, I want to connect it all to Jesus. Everything we do here is all about Jesus. You know, spiritual gifts are no good to you without Spirit of Jesus. Okay? It's not about you having supernatural ability to show off. It's not about you having supernatural ability to feel good about yourself. Or even use it on somebody so people would say, "Wow, look at that person." It's not about us. Spiritual gifts are all about Jesus. Okay? Let's begin with Jesus. Jesus came to this world to live and die for people, to redeem Him and to save them. Amen? Would you agree? Amen. We agree with that. The second thing, before Jesus started His public ministry, He was baptized in the water. And as He was baptized in the water, how many of you know what happened? Holy Spirit, as a dove, descended down on Him, and it was visible, at least to John and Jesus. I don't know if everybody's seen it. And then there was a voice spoken. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased in." If you're a Christian, that's what God says about you. "This is my beloved Son and daughter, in whom I'm well pleased in." And that's what God said about Jesus. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, Bible says, goes into the wilderness, waits there, being tested by the devil, comes back, Bible says, in the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and begins to do crazy miracles, begins to speak of things that people never heard, with authority and power. And then before he dies, after he dies and resurrects, he meets with his disciples and says, listen, do not leave Jerusalem. And let me read this from Acts 4. Acts 4 says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father has promised, which you have heard from me, Jesus said. And then verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to remote part of the earth. So Jesus is commanding his disciples, who've already practiced many miracles, who've already practiced signs and wonders, casting out of demons. And yes, we do believe in casting out of demons. We do believe in healing. We'll get to that. He commands his disciples, as he commanded them. He says, I don't want you to do any work on the earth for my name without the power of the Holy Spirit. I have seen, listen to me, people, I have seen people come to our church and not be filled with this power and try to do good things, but when it's not done with this power of the Holy Spirit, it's something's wrong with that. As a Christian, you almost like smell a bad smell, you know, and it's not natural. Help me out. It's not a natural thing. It's like something is not done right here. God, listen to me. God does not want us to go and preach the gospel, to expand the kingdom of God without the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And this is what he said. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then. Do you know that Jesus also said this? He said, the works that I do, you will do even greater because I go to the Father. Now, what does that mean, really, practically? Let's look at it. What does that mean? Jesus raised the dead. I've never raised the dead. So I can't claim that I can do greater work on my by myself. Jesus walked on water. He cast out a demon. Well, I've cast out demons, but not like Jesus did. I freaked out, too. One time we were praying after a three-day fast on Friday night. Our fast ended, and this guy came in on a wheelchair, and he's like, I need you to pray, cast out demons from me. He says, they're at night, they come to me, and I fight him, he says, but there's few who are stronger than me. We're like, okay. So four of us or five of us start praying. Were you there, Francis? No, you weren't there. Tanya was there. I know Andre was there. Victor was there. And so we began to pray for him, and suddenly he becomes like a wild wolf, and his mouth is filled with foam, and he's barking at us, and he's going, and his mouth is full. I mean, I know it's kind of freaky, and we don't do this much in churches anymore. That's something you see on Exorcist or something, and I haven't seen any. So he's sitting in a wheelchair, but I'm like, man, this dude can just, I mean, I can feel the energy coming on him. And he starts feeling, he's right here, standing right here. We're all praying. We pray louder. You know how we Christians are. When we're scared, we start praying louder. Ah! Devil, we bind you, Satan. Get out of him. You know how it is. And I'm feeling goosebumps all over. I mean, I'm ready to run. Some of the people who were there said, if it wasn't few more seconds, we would have run away. Tanya said that to me, and she's not the only one, actually. Actually, almost everybody said, and I didn't admit it, but, oh, man, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I got to get out of here. What have we got ourselves into, you know? And so we're praying for him, and suddenly he becomes like a cobra. And he starts acting physically like a cobra. He's, you know, he's physically a man and everything, but he starts acting. He starts going like this, and hissing, and hissing. And then in a second, he explodes. Yeah, Andre was there. He wasn't physically. He just looked. He looks you in the eyes like this. I mean, a freak. I can't even. Andre probably can redo what. Andre's better communicator. And then he goes, ah! spits, and this yellow stuff comes out, and thank God it falls on himself. Because I thought it's going to, and I thought, oh man, if he gets up of this wheelchair, he's going to attack us or something. As soon as that happened, new power came upon us. And fear just, as soon as that happened, I mean, we were to the limit. You know, Satan will scare you to the limit, and then he'll use the best on you. And if that doesn't work, that's it. And so he, and then after that, he says, that's it. I feel better. I think they'll have it. And we look at him. We're like, no, you're not. Because he still goes like this. In the wheelchair, he still goes like that. And you know what? People need help. People are tormented in their dreams, in their night. And you know what? The church is like, go to the doctor and get so many pills that numb you so, or you need to be in a psychiatric ward. That's what you need to be. And that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, you shall receive power and you'll cast out demons. You shall trample them. And you know what? After that time, I was never afraid. I mean, there's still a little, you know, that awkwardness, you know, that feeling. But after that moment, Bible says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You just got to remember that. No matter what comes, this is the victory that overcomes the world. That's our faith. That's Holy Spirit in us. That's the gift of faith in us. And so God wants to use his people for healing of the sick, healing of the brokenhearted, for the oppressed, for the deep depressed, for the possessed. There's people out there who wants to be free, but they don't know how. And the church says, we don't do that anymore. Yeah, Jesus did that, but we don't do this anymore. God wants to use you. God doesn't want you to come to church only to sit and listen to a message. This is not one of those churches. If you are here, Holy Spirit has brought you here for some kind of a work. If you are here, he has given you a gift. And you know what? You might have a gift that nobody else has here. Because Bible says each one of you has at least one gift. Or more. And you know, we act like we're this weak people, weak church. And Holy Spirit says, because you don't acknowledge my power in your life, I want to fill you. I want to use you. There's so much more. The world needs you guys. And you can't do it. You can't go there without the power of the Holy Spirit. Seven sons of a scribe in the book of Acts, I don't know if you know this story, they came to a demon-possessed person and they started casting him out. And demons spoke back to them and said, through the man's voice, obviously, and he says, I know Paul, because they're like, we cast you out in the name of Paul and Jesus. The demon goes like, yeah, I know Paul, and I know Jesus, but who are you? See, there was no spirit of Jesus in them. There were seven of them. And the Bible says this demon-possessed person beat him up so much that they ran out naked from that house where they were casting him out, exorcism, naked, ran out, beat up, all scratched up. I mean, imagine somebody tearing your clothes up. Demon-possessed person. Seven guys couldn't. That's a movie. I don't know if they have a movie like that. But that's like a exorcism goes bad. Seven against one. No, you know. So you can't do the work of God without the power of God. You can't do the ministry of God without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking today about, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to give you three general positions in the church about gifts of the Holy Spirit. You ready? First position is called the cessationist position. Cessationist position. That's a position that of there's groups of people in the church. They're saved. Let me repeat this. They're saved. They're born again Christians, but they don't believe that gifts of the Spirit are for today. They believe the gifts of the Spirit ceased with the apostles. Okay? We don't take that position. Actually, in the 5th century, St. Augustine first took that position that he didn't believe in gifts of the Spirit. He said that they ceased in 100 AD, whatever, somewhere in there. But then later he changed his position. He said, yes, we do need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason they took this position, and many are doing it today, is they're saying, if we have the gifts of the Spirit, some people might take courage and start adding something to the Bible. You know, like prophecy. They said, what if somebody starts prophesying something and it will begin to compete with the Word of God? Okay, that's why they're so afraid. Okay? And so, we don't take that position. We believe, second position, and let me talk about the first position, this cessationist position. I know it's a big word. It starts with C-E-C-S-S, yeah, whatever. Cessationist position. Especially, they don't believe in tongues and prophecy. I mean, they're particularly against tongues and prophecy, okay? However, this position is kind of dying in the modern church. This position is disappearing in the church. Many in Catholic Church are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Before, a Baptist would cut your head off if you said that gifts are for today, especially speaking in tongues and prophecy. Today, many Baptist people are being baptized with the Holy Spirit, even in this church. There's a group that comes here. It's called Sioux Falls Regional Outpouring. Most of them were Baptists from the First Baptist Church. They're coming here and having their revival services, speaking in tongues, prophesying, all kinds of things. So God is changing that. In the South America, it's a big movement, the charismatic movement. And the second position is the charismatic position. And that's who we are. You probably noticed. We raise our hands, we dance, we're loud. We sometimes pray in the Holy Spirit. We believe in prophecy. We believe in healing. We believe in faith, in casting out demons. We believe all that, and we believe that it is for today. How do we know this? Because throughout 2,000 years since Jesus and apostles, there have been prophecies, speaking in tongues, healing, miracles. It has happened, okay? And it is happening today. I want to tell you that I don't know if I have every gift that is available, but I know I have gift of speaking in tongues, and I do that. However, I want to call our position charismatic position. It's like charismaticism with a seatbelt, okay? Because kind of like when you look in the Bible, you notice there are some guidelines and rules that Paul gives to the Corinthian church about how to use spiritual gifts. Corinthian church, we think, was amazing church. But really, they were messed up. Hillbilly, redneck type church, I don't know. I mean, they were screwed up. A pastor would get up, or a person would get up and begin to speak in tongues as he's preaching. And he would do it for 30 minutes. People would be bored to death. I mean, just like, what are you doing? And then another guy will get up and begin to speak in tongues. And they would begin to compete who could speak better or louder. A problem. And so Paul begins to write to them about there's certain rules, there's guidelines, this is how you do it. Okay? So we are those kind of charismatics. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe they're for today, but we got a seatbelt on. That means we're not going to go nuts and crazy and do wild things. We're not going to bark like dogs. We're not going to try to find a new way to express ourselves, climbing on walls, swinging from the chandeliers, you know, type. That's not us, okay? We might take our jackets and swing them a little bit, but that's, you know, that's as far as we go, okay? So that's a charismatic position. Another thing about charismatic position, and that's who we are, we don't just take gifts of the Spirit and forget about the Bible. Okay, because the third position, I want to call them charismaniacs position. Okay, I want you to remember this. It's a charismaniac position. That's when, I'm not going to go into too many details, but that's when they believe in gifts of the Spirit, just like we do, but that's all they focus on. It's all about just, you know, having, feeling good. It's all about falling out all the time. It's all about emotions, yes. It's all about new ways to find how to feel good. Yes, we love Jesus, but and in the Bible, yes, we do, but Holy Spirit, that's who we want to know. And it's almost like this, come, you know, charismaniacs. It's running around, it's having fun, it's all about emotions, but not too much about Bible. You can see a lot sometimes on TV. You can see some preachers on TV. It's all about emotions. It's all about how do you feel. We don't care about the Bible so much. Now, we do. They say that they do, but in reality, it's more about how much power and energy we can practice and do and feel a certain way. You know. So there's still, all of these positions are still saved because they believe in Jesus Christ. So we're not here to say that they're not saved. It's just not who we are. We take the charismatic position. That means we believe in gifts of the Spirit with seatbelt, and then we believe in the Word God, in the Word of God. We are, as New Life Church, and what I have tried to do is be deep in the Word, and as you can see, we've tried to be deep in the worship. We've been trying to be deep in the Word. We've been lacking a little bit in the spiritual things. A lot of you see that you guys know a lot about the Bible in this church. We got growth groups. We got, other things, mentoring, personal mentoring. But as far as spiritual gifts, we're kind of lacking. And I feel like the Holy Spirit, what He wants to do, He wants to balance that out. Some churches, great Bible, no gifts. Other churches, gifts, no Bible. And I believe there's balance where gifts and Bible go together. Hallelujah. I'm tired of going and being a part of a church that's dead. Just, you know, we're full of knowledge. We have no power. Knowledge without power, we become snobs. You know, we know it all. You know, intellectuals. You know, and power without knowledge is spiritism. It's emotions. But knowledge and power. Jesus said, Paul says, word is a ladder, kills, but spirit gives life. And Jesus said, those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. Meaning, gifts of the Spirit and the Word of God. We worship both ways. That's what God wants to do in you in this place. So be very careful as you're listening, because we're getting started here. What? Getting started? No, we're already halfway, but we're starting on the gifts of the Spirit. And let's read from 1 Corinthians 12. Read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Okay? And God is speaking to His church through Paul, and he says this: now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So what is God saying to us? God is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. God says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know about spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. So what it's saying is, when you were a dumb Gentile, you were following dumb idols. Alright? What does it mean? Satan doesn't explain what he does. He just does it. Help me out here. He says, you just followed. But about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. Meaning, you don't follow spiritual gifts, or you're not ignorant about spiritual gifts. You don't just go and practice spiritual gifts. He says, I want you to know about what you're doing. I want you to know about how it works. Who is it given to? What they are. I want you to know about it. Idols are dumb and they want you to be dumb. Meaning just do what the idol says and do what, you know, go where he leads you. Look at verse 2 again. Look at verse 2 again. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however they were led. Meaning you just went by how they led you. But about spiritual gifts, you don't need to be like that. God wants you to know. In the Old Testament, it says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And without revelation, people are, help me out, what is that word? Perish. Is that right? Without revelation, people perish. And so, verse 3, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Now, what does it mean to speak by the Spirit of God? Okay, help me out. It's speaking not just with your regular language, but speaking with your heavenly language. Now, why would I worry about cursing Jesus if I'm speaking in my own language? Right? If I'm just speaking good things, Jesus, I love you, why should I worry about cursing him? I don't think Paul was stupid or the church was stupid that he's writing to. So, they had a concern. He's answering their letter. They send him, hey, Paul, we got problems in the church. He's like, hey, don't worry about it. If you speak in your heavenly language, you will never curse Jesus. Let's read that again. Ready? Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Interesting. Now, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but same Spirit. 5. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. 6. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Okay? 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for profit of all. Now, what does the Bible say? That manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. To some? No. To certain chosen people? No. To each one. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you have Holy Spirit in you. But this is more than that. Here it says that to each one is given manifestation. Now, in order to be a child of God, you have to have Holy Spirit. How many of you would agree that? Nobody can be a Christian without Holy Spirit. Through Him, we are sealed, Bible says. So nobody can say, I'm a Christian and have no Holy Spirit. No, the idea of you being Christian is that Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. But now it's different. He says, but manifestation. Let's read it again, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for a profit of all. Now, some of us have the Holy Spirit, but we are so intellectual, we're so worldly, we're so, we got such stigmas and fears towards the gifts of manifestations of the Holy Spirit, we hold them back. And what does the Bible say? Holy Spirit and gifts of prophecy are subject to the prophets. Holy Spirit will not come through you without your permission. Listen to me. You can't just say, I began to speak in tongues, but I couldn't control it. It just went blah 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 blah. Shake bake, Isuzu Honda, Mitsubishi, and all the words are coming out. I can't control it. You can control your gift. Holy Spirit is a, I don't know if it's the right word, but gentlemen, he won't come and And like the demon, you know how demon-possessed people, they can't control it. They just start shaking and baking and yelling and screaming. And you see what I'm saying? But Holy Spirit is not like that. He's not going to go against your will. So in order for manifestation of the Spirit to happen in your life, you're going to have to give Him permission. You're going to have to say, Holy Spirit, I want to be used by You. And the Word says to all. If you're a Christian, you have a gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know which one. Now you have to discover which one it is, or not just one. Many of you have multiple gifts, and some of you are able to move in all at certain time, at certain place, at certain season. But Bible says you all have spiritual gifts. And Paul says, earnestly seek spiritual gifts, especially to prophesy. So in order for you to practice them, in order for the gift of the Spirit to manifest through you, Paul says you have to seek it, especially to prophesy. And then he says, because he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. So prophecy is a greater gift. This is where we know that some gifts are greater, some gifts are lesser, but they're all done by the Holy Spirit. And this is how it works. It's not that they're greater or lesser. Some gifts takes more faith. Some gifts takes less faith. Amen? All right. So let's look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to name them. There's 9 of them. Verse 12. For to one is given the word of wisdom. One. Through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. Man, you're going to be excited after you find out what it is, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. We're going to try to go through these two. But let me read them all so you know it. Through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. This is not a faith in Jesus. Would you agree? This is an additional faith. Okay? To another, gifts of the of healings by the same Spirit. To another, works of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kind of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Listen, if you were here and thinking, I don't have a gift, that's a lie of the devil. Because the Bible says, Holy Spirit Himself distributes to whomever He wills, according to His will, individually. So each person here, if you're a Christian, that's all it takes. If you're a Christian, Holy Spirit has special ability that no one else could have in this church, or some might. He distributes to each one. And it says, for the profit of all. A lot of times, people in the church are not changed because of you, not because of a preacher. Because gifts are given to all for the profit of all. To each one for a profit of all. And if you're not using your gift, guess what? You are robbing your brother or sister of their answer. Now, we wouldn't need gifts if we didn't have problems, if we had perfect knowledge and wisdom, if we had power and nobody got sick, we wouldn't need gifts. But since we're not perfect people, we need you. God needs to use you to manifest Himself to your neighbor. Notice, gifts of the Spirit is not for you individually. Let's say I have a gift of word of wisdom. It's not for me. It is for somebody in the church. Let's say you have a prophecy. The prophecy is not for you individually, prophet. It's for the church. Listen, one thing I've discovered in this, I've been in ministry for almost 10 years, about 10 years, and started as a youth minister, and then before that as a musician. So that's 20 years. No, it's true. At 12, I started playing piano for the church. anyway, but I found out that my gift is not for me. It's for the body. And if you're not using it, you're robbing somebody of their answer. And that's why sometimes people come to church. They hang around, and they say, not the changes. I find no answers. Yes, the preaching is good, the music is good, the people are good, but I'm out of here. Because personally, your gift didn't touch that person. Answers didn't come to that person because it's not through the preacher that people get answers. Many times it's through the gift that people get an answer. And you have that gift. Each one of us does. Amen? And God wants to fill this house. But unless we're ready to give that gift, allow her Holy Spirit to manifest that gift through us, God is like, okay, they're still learning. They're not ready. I want to be ready. I tell him, I've been ready, Lord. But he's like, yeah. Hallelujah. So there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit in Corinthians. But that's not all the gifts. If I wanted to count all the gifts, I wouldn't be able to count all the gifts. Let me give you 5 office gifts as written in Ephesians 4:11. It says, to some he gave to be apostles, that's an office, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay? So there's 5, I call them administrational gifts. Let's say a pastor, that's an office, like a politician holds an office, right? Of a senator or congressman or whatever. Pastor is an office. Prophet, now, Bible says that everyone could prophesy at one time or another. But there is people who hold the office of a prophet. That's their main gift. That's what God uses them in. And usually God will take that person and bring him to one church, to another church, to a third church, and they would just begin to speak. You know that before we started this church, we had a lot of prophets come through here. And they prophesied, oh my goodness. I mean, there were so many prophets. The Bible says the church is established upon apostles and prophets. So apostles come and start a church. Prophets come and confirm it. They begin to speak into it. All right? Before every new thing that God will do in your life, He'll give you a word. So you know that after you achieve what that person says, prophet said to you, plus you'll have kind of a direction. Amen? And Bible says this, believe the Lord your God and believe His prophets so you may prosper. How many of you still with me? Amen? So there's those types of gifts. Now there's operative gifts, and they're like leading is another gift in the Bible. Giving. You know that giving, there's a gift of giving. And usually if you have that gift, that doesn't mean that you're rich or not. But rich people should have a gift of giving. No, it's true. In the New Testament, apostles teach us that as pastor, I should teach rich people to give more, to give more, because it's not theirs. It's not because they're so good that they became rich. And but it's not just that rich people need to give. There's people who are poor, but they just give. They find new things and they give. Maybe you know that kind of a person. They would give their last thing. They got a gift of giving. Okay? There's gift of administration. Okay? And if you have that gift, it's an important gift for the body of Christ. It's a very important gift. If you have a gift of administration and you're still sitting unknown, you're robbing new life. You better stop doing that. I'm gonna ask God to find you. Amen. You're able to organize. You're very organized. You're neat and freakishly neat. You know, you have a gift. You need to use it. There's gift of leadership. Now, what does that mean? Gift of leadership is, I went to, what was that place in Minneapolis? Valley Fair? And there is like 1,500 workers up there. And I was surprised how everybody knew what they were doing. Remember that, Jill? And Jill was with us then. And I came to a manager or whoever was running that place, and I said, how many people work here? I would love to be an apprentice here. Imagine running 1,500 people, making sure that everybody is doing their job. That person has to have a gift of leadership. I heard that Walt Disney has about 150,000 people working for them. How do you run that kind of a organization? No, seriously. How do you run that kind of organization? Gift of administration, gift of leadership. U.S. Army, Navy, and all those armed forces. Imagine how organized they are. And everything is in order. It's not like in a church. We got volunteers. They got volunteers too, but but they're so organized, so much in order. They make better people out of people. That's a gift of, somebody has a gift. Somebody in a long time ago started and set up a gift, put up policies and systems, making sure that the army does not produce little dictators. But it's organized and it's power limited and things like that. You see what I mean? And in the church, God says, I give people special gifts. Now, let me go even deeper on the gifts. Is that okay? Because I don't want to say that just, you know, these nine or five or these few. There's a gift of hospitality. It's almost like a normal thing. But people love to invite people for dinner. And if that's your gift, you need to invite people. I'm on your list. Put me on your list. You know? Put me down, you know? If you just love cooking and grilling and you just love having people over, maybe that's your gift and you should use it for the kingdom of God. Now, there's also natural gifts that God uses for His glory as well. In the Old Testament, when they were building Solomon's temple, when they were building the tabernacle, God said, choose craftsmen. What do you call those people? Who can work with gold and who can work with silver and wood. They were able. Yeah, goldsmiths, and then who are those people that create sculptures? Sculptors, artists. See, well, God says, I will put my spirit on them, and they will do everything that I command them. So there's all kinds of gifts. There's gifts of music. It could be influenced by that one world or another world. Amen? So singing is a gift. Music is a gift. So I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that just these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are, you know, that's all we have. No, there's more. See, what happens is gift plus Holy Spirit equals empowered to do God's will. And if you're an artist and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you allow God to use you, something like that could be drawn. That's right. Tanya does graphic design, and there's other people here who do graphic design, Nikki, and they use it for the glory of God. You can use it. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever your gift is, God wants to fill it with the Holy Spirit. Plus, He wants to add to the nine gifts that already given to all. He wants to put His Holy Spirit in everything that you do. So whatever you do is for the glory of God. Are you getting this? And then His name is glorified that way. Because if you do it without Holy Spirit, and then you say, God, get all the glory. You know how people come out and they say, I just like to thank God. It just doesn't sound right after that music video. After that porn movie that you made and you're thanking God, please. Come on, man. Just doesn't sound right. You know that wasn't influenced by the Holy Spirit. And God says, I get glory anyway because I created you. So all your gifts is mine anyway. Everything you do is mine. But it's just, don't thank me, please. Sometimes we have this false humility. And it's we do what we want and then we thank God. And God says, I didn't do that. One man, I had an appointment this week. He came to me. He was doing some promotional stuff. And he says to me, and I could see it. It was all self-promotion. And then I didn't want to say nothing. You know, I've kind of learned not to tell people, let God tell them stuff. You know, and let me finish that. It was self-promotion. This is what you need to be doing. This is where you're supposed to be. You're not ready to do what you were thinking of doing. And he was like, looking at me. I'm like, I didn't want to tell you this, dude. But I'm glad Holy Spirit already told you, and I'm confirming that. Because I wanted to tell you that a long time ago, but I was like, just wait for the Holy Spirit, you know? So you can see self-promotion. And when Holy Spirit does something. Right. So anything you do, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do it for the glory of God. I had no time today to get to that. And I don't want to bore you too much anymore. Come on, say you're not bored. Next week, listen to me. Next week, for sure, we'll get to that. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Those two will start right there. Okay? But I had to do this little introduction to this series because it's so important. And then one more thing. It's not about the gifts. It's all about the giver. It's about Jesus. We live for him. If he could take your breath today if he wanted you and you're dead, well, what can you do then? Nothing. So everything we do must be for his glory. And you know what? When we live for ourselves, we come to the end of ourselves. But when we live for Jesus, it's so big. And if we live for Jesus, it never ends. Because like Audrey said, the road is huge. And the potholes that we experience on, it's just a little pothole compared to where I'm going and the destiny that God has for me. Hallelujah. God did something today already without us even going into it. My only prayer is that you're encouraged to discover your gift. And if you know other Christians who are kind of tossed to and from, don't know where they're going, invite them. They need to hear their gifts. They need to discover their gifts and use them for the kingdom of God. God is doing something today. Don't despise small beginnings. You might think, who am I? You know, I'm a sinner. Well, so was disciples. Paul calls himself a chief of sinner, but look what God has done through him. Someday you want to write a book for your grandchildren of everything that God has done in your life. You want to tell them about the miracles. I was about going broke, but God did this. I was about to be in big trouble, but God did this. I was about, and David says, many troubles are in a person's life, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean that we won't have trouble, but this is a guarantee. God will deliver us. All of them. Hallelujah. Don't go into this world without this gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't start anything without this gift. Don't do anything without this power. And it's so simple. It's so easy. It's it's in you. And all you have to say, Holy Spirit, I want to give you room to use me. And you'll say things that you didn't know you knew. You'll give wisdom. And you'll say, where did it came from? I didn't learn this in school. How? How did I came up with this? You'll help people, for real. Gifts are all about helping people. And we as a church have got to start practicing them. That's what it means to be a servant. Jesus said, just as I was a servant, I want you to be the servant. Because if you want to be great, and I know all of you do, I know we were created for it. We were created to be great. Jesus says, become a servant to all. And don't do it without Holy Spirit. Don't do it without His power. Let's pray.